Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tab with you. Nick Schwert with us. Nick is our new producer if you're just tuning in. What's your Twitter handle again? We got to get the follower count up here. Is it Nick_Schwert or no?
Yeah, my last name is a bit of a nightmare though, so good luck.
Just guess.
I'm going to guess it's S-C-H-W-E-R-D-T.
Wow.
Look at that. First try.
No confidence.
Spelling bee.
Out of the park.
Spelling bee. There it is. Schwert.
Nick is probably N-I-K.
You'll figure it out.
It's not. Please do not go look up N-I-K.
He's going to be a big part of the show, obviously, going forward. We're excited to have Nick on board with us here on Cody and Gold. Real quick, before we get into Danny Duffy, his name coming up in trade conversations, Tyrann Mathieu just tweeted something, and it's funny because now all the speculation starts up again. Remember, it was a couple weeks ago, the whole deal, Instagram, in the background, someone at the restaurant was like, what are you celebrating? And he said, oh, a new deal, and everybody's like, oh, must mean he has his new contract extension. We already told you last week that the wedding invites and the bridal party invites went out, and we assume the fact that Tyrann Mathieu's wife is in the Mahomes wedding, that this thing's already done, right? The contract extension's already done. But Mathieu tweeted out, 8 figures stashed, I was waiting for this day to come. And we've had multiple people text into the show. I'm like, do you think this means a deal is done?
Cryptic tweet season's hard.
It's cryptic tweet season, and also, he might have just now, after investing, has reached a point in time where he's got 8 figures in investment. Like, he's earned that through investments and everything else.
His Roth IRA is now at $10 million. Yeah. It should be tax-free just as long as he holds on to it to a certain age of retirement, which at his level of richness, we shouldn't do that. Speaking of which, quickly, let me get 30 more seconds since you mentioned Tyrann Mathieu.
Uh-huh.
I actually heard a conversation you had, and I felt like I needed to have an opinion on it. You mentioned, don't start my 30 seconds yet, I got to set it up, Tyrann Mathieu's, like, somebody on the show, I can't remember who, seemed to think that Tyrann Mathieu's more likely to get an extension to the fact he got a Rolex and is going to be Patrick Mahomes' wedding.
Mathieu's wife is going to be in the Mahomes' wedding.
Fine. So she got a Cartier watch, she's going to be in the,
nice
I think
bracelet,
that you can just do these things from out of town. I don't think it's a big deal. But the take I want to have for 30 seconds is,
start the clock.
I absolutely do not think that the best man is supposed to pay for the entire bachelor party. And I also do not think that all the groomsmen, if it's an out-of-town bachelor party, are responsible for the entirety of funding your trip. I don't have to pay for your hotel and your airfare. If it is in town, you're on a free tab. While we're out drinking, out of town, it's on a free tab. I've got you all of that. I just can't pay for every part of your life because you asked me to go out of town.
Okay.
It's not my fault you're getting married. It's not my fault you decided to go to Vegas. I will pay for all your drinks in Vegas. We'll do whatever we got to do to spoil that. But I'm not.
This is one where I'm glad
I'm
you actually brought it back up. That was, so Dusty's take was that the best man should have to pay for everything.
That's
which
ludicrous.
It, to me, is wrong, as we said last week. Now, so we're on the same page there. Everybody should have to help with the best man's planning and all of that. You're telling me, though, you don't think
I don't think I should be paying for your flight and hotel, no.
Yeah, that, to me, that's wrong. The groom should not have to pay for a
dime.
I
told my brother this.
The groom should not have to pay for
a
dime. Like, if I get married and you're part of the bridal party, right, I better not be paying for a dime on my bachelor party.
I don't want to pay for your hotel or your flight. That's where I draw the line.
Yes, yeah. Now, I will say this.
You want me to pay for your entrance into the club? Fine.
The person, if you also have a good idea of who's part of who your groomsmen are and where they're at in life and stuff, you know, ask everybody to fly to Hawaii or Vegas or something.
Sure. But again, if to me, the obligation of what you pay Gold is only relative to what you ask me to do. So if I got, so I got married out of town. Are you, as the person, I got married out of town. Wasn't even a bachelor party. Are you responsible for my hotel or my flight? Why is it just for this party? You want the party. It's for you. If you ask me to go out of town, my obligation is still take care of party things or party related or the things we're going or pay for your drinks. I 1,000% agree. We're all on board with that. But I don't feel like I should also have to pay for you to get out there. It's like I'm just funding your vacation. And I don't think that's a, I don't think that's a good system. Not a fan of that system.
Just and Cody, as the official clock operator, I would just like to take a moment to issue you a verbal warning. You okay. did steamroll past the buzzer, which was a little disrespectful.
That's my bad. That's my bad. I only have a couple more of these to get to today, so it's already 1 o'clock. I'm gonna have to get through them throughout the entire week. I got several more takes.
Well, hopefully the dump button works too. Nick got his first practice at the dump button. Hopefully that worked.
It's right there.
I don't know.
Says dump.
I hope that worked.
Hello, streamers.
Those of you on the stream, you're all good. We welcome you. We welcome you. Hopefully,
only one way to find out.
There you go. Yeah, someone says, Gold, it's called being a grown up. You shouldn't have to pay. Everybody shouldn't have to pay for you.
I don't mind. I don't mind paying for like the things. Like, I get it, right? We're all kind of doing this celebratory thing. I've done my share. I just feel like the second you go out of town, it's already too much. Like, especially if you're a groomsman, man. Are you buying the suits? Probably not, right? You're not renting the tuxes, right? That's on me. This is all on me. What's the hookup? You're just getting married and I get a $1,000 bill? This doesn't sound good to me. Ugh, that's tough. Everybody has a different opinion on this. I think once you get into a friend group where like one person's done it that way, you're just like locked into it. Like you're locked in and you're just hoping one day you get married and actually get the reward benefit of it. Already married, so it's too late. Nick's not married yet, but he's in a out-of-town relationship.
Yeah, how close are we getting? I mean, how long you guys been together?
Are we really not on day one going to force him into that conversation? Why have you proposed yet, Nick?
Text line also, they can't wait till Thursday for the snitch line. They've got some juicy news on you.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That can't be good.
Someone said, what happens when you use the dump button? Do you get in trouble?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Technically, if we use it,
if it worked, then we're all good. But text line claims it may not work, so I'll find out later today, won't I?
Look, that's...
That was surprising. I wasn't excited.
That's a first for you.
That's a first.
Congratulations. Come on. All right. Yeah. Get some celebratory.
I don't know about that. All right. So the trade deadline for baseball is coming up at the end of the month, July 31st. And at least one MLB expert believes that Danny Duffy is not only likely, but expected to be traded. His conversations with an MLB executive, Joel Sherman of the New York Post, talked to one executive that says Danny Duffy is likely and expected to be traded in the next few weeks. Of course, the Royals lefty, his contract is up at the end of the season, Cody, and that's what opens this up. Health is first and foremost. All these other teams are going to want to find out, all right, what is his health status right now based on the injury history and the injury that he had earlier this year. I think you can make this work for everybody involved on a Danny Duffy trade. We know the Baromir Royals stuff. We know what he's meant to the community. He does have rights now to block any deal, which I still think even without the 10-5 rights,
would have never traded Danny Duffy without asking.
You can get something for Duffy. He can go pitch for a contender, maybe out west in Oakland or with the Padres or wherever it may be. And in the offseason, you could bring him back on a free agent deal. And he can play a vital role for you, potentially still in the rotation next year. Unfortunately, you know, that's not something that's solidified as much as we were hoping. So I think you go ahead and pull the trigger on a trade for Danny Duffy. His contract's up at the end of the season.
What's the benefit? Like, if any player, like, this is the same conversation. I mean, it sucks to have these conversations because you thought we were done with them. But if they can't do something for you inside of your window to win Gold, then what are we doing here? This isn't even like holding on to, like, I get it's holding on to a World Series player, but it's not even like holding on to them in the World Series window. Like, to me, that's where you have to draw the line. And in that mindset, I just don't think it makes sense to hold on. I like Danny Duffy a lot as a person. We've discussed this. I think I'd kind of like if he just stayed in town. But if we're talking about what the right thing to do, and this is where the Royals do zig when other teams zaggled. If this were every other team in baseball, I would tell you it's a 100% chance Danny Duffy and Carlos Santana and a couple of other guys are getting traded. Michael Taylor. I would say all those guys are getting traded. But because it's the Royals and they do not operate that way all the time, they do care about people.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a chance Danny Duffy stays here. Just depends on how they want to handle this with him personally.
And I still think
they should move him. I don't want to say that, but they should do it.
His contract is up. I'm with you on Michael Taylor. His contract's up, and I think some team will be interested in a fourth outfielder. You can get something for him. I would be surprised if Michael A. Taylor's still on this team post July 31st.
It's going to be some too old A-ball player that you hope turns into something, and that's fine.
Most likely, And then there's the bullpen arms, which are more complicated because you've got team control for numerous years on a lot of these guys in the bullpen. Although one in particular is just a veteran that you don't have any control over, that I think if some team's willing to take it on a flyer and not have him in high leverage situations, I think Greg Holland could be moved for something very small as well based off of his contract. I think also you could look at one of the other bullpen arms, although I just think out of the group, besides Scott Barlow, Jake Brents is someone that I wouldn't move. He's got too many years of control. He's a lefty that can throw 100 miles an hour.
I take calls on all of those guys looking for the best offer.
You can take calls. I just think Brents, it would take more for me to move Brents than some of the other guys in the bullpen. Sure. Like I think I'd move
Barlow last, but I understand why you would say Brents.
I'd move Kyle Zimmer, and he's been very good this year, but also we know the injury history, and right now he's healthy. Right, take advantage of that
for the first time ever.
Yeah,
it's like selling high on a guy who for the first time is at the right mindset to do it. This is the most difficult thing to do in sports sometimes is self-realization. And honestly, the people who are in charge of sports leagues, general managers, head coaches are really bad at this, right? Bill Belichick right now should be sitting down in his office having a conversation about how he's not very good at being a GM anymore. He's still an excellent head coach, but over the last 5 years, he's been a bad general manager. Let a future Hall of Fame quarterback go, who then shoved a Super Bowl down his throat during that time. He hasn't drafted well. He hasn't built a team well. They've been bad. But he has coached them up to be 500 somehow, despite the fact they're not very good. And win a Super Bowl with what I thought was a less than average team, or less than great team, when they beat the Chiefs on their way to the Super Bowl. I didn't think it was a great Patriots team, and he still took them and won a Super Bowl. He's a great coach. He's not a very good GM. He should have that conversation. This is the conversation Date needs to have. Is the window still the window? Are you actually going to be good next year? And be honest with yourself. Because you thought you were going to be better than you are this year, does that mean it's further down the line? That means anybody under, if you're not going to be good next year, anybody under 2 or 3 years of contract, which is honestly a majority of the roster, you better take some phone calls on. That's a really difficult conversation for anybody in a position of power with ego to have. And I think that's the position they need to ask themselves when they talk about any of these people as a trade candidate. Duffy makes too much sense. I don't think there's any argument for that because it's the final year of his deal. Same with a couple of others. It's the tougher ones that happen with the guys with multiple years of control.
Things will heat up probably after this weekend overall, if you just take a look at where things are at on the calendar. But I think we all expect multiple moves to take place. The question is just, is there a bigger name that's maybe moved? Is there going to be a surprise name that's moved? We'll certainly find out. There'll be plenty of rumors and everything like that. We'll ask. We did ask Whit Merrifield about that. As a matter of fact, you'll hear our conversation with Whit coming up at 1:30. We spoke with him earlier and asked him about his name continuing to come up and how does he handle that as a big league player when around trade deadline, Whit Merrifield's name is always kind of part of the, at least the mix of rumors and reports. So we'll get to that coming up at 1:30. We know with training camp for the Chiefs starting up really this weekend, rookies, quarterbacks report on Friday. We'll start doing shows out there in St. Joe, really fired up for that this weekend. Our station will be out there on Wednesday of next week, a week from Wednesday. We'll have 16 shows starting then during practice, the only show in Kansas City broadcasting during practice. So we're fired up about that. And we know there's the overarching thing that still hangs over the NFL this season and all sports is just trying to figure out how they can get through a season yet again and the numbers and which teams are at a competitive advantage based off of vaccination rate. And even
like
after
we learned the Chargers are below 50%,
although since that report on Friday, since we spoke about on Friday, apparently they are over now.
Okay.
So something to keep in mind, I guess they are, but yes, there's still a couple teams. Well, now the NFL and NFLPA are working on a method to try to identify vaccinated players at practice during games. Now, this is going to be very controversial of how the NFL is going to do this.
It's a scarlet letter.
Yeah, essentially it is.
It is, right?
Basically, right? This is, according to Mike Florio, a source tells him with knowledge that the NFL and NFLPA are working out the details for identifying vaccinated players during some games. It's regarded as a, quote, core concern. So you're talking about essentially visual proof, which would distinguish vaccinated from non-vaccinated players, fans, and media, you know, could see this as well. And so this is going to be really interesting on how this is going to be handled, because we know there's at least a couple quarterbacks that seemingly have spoken out a little bit against getting vaccinated. And as I'll reiterate, we've said it time and time again on this show, It absolutely is their personal choice. Don't deny that at all. We're just talking about from a competitive advantage in the NFL.
The problem is they could create a rift by doing this for the exact reason, right? It's personal choice. The players who are getting are saying, hey, it's my choice. Why are you doing this? But by singling them out, by, you know, all right, look, you're fine. You know, we can't make you get a shot. No big deal. But if you don't have it, you got to stand in this square. And you're like, whoa. Now, every time somebody's going to ask me a question about it in the press or somebody's going to say something or maybe identified, you are essentially putting me in a position where I look bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be putting pressure on, because otherwise, other than putting pressure on the player, what's the need to identify them? And that's what's tricky here.
Because you know them. It could just be a secret list if you're the NFL.
Well, because you don't have to publicly identify them.
Correct.
Because the NFL already has, as we know, these tiers of credentials / wristbands and these devices. The team, the organization knows. So it truly is. I mean, let's be honest, what they're trying to, I mean, it is
guilt.
About shaming, frankly.
It's about guilt.
All right. That's why this is going to be really interesting to see how the NFL is going to go about doing it.
The problem is that by isolating them, normally you would say that would be a bad thing, but the NFL, the league, has way more power over the PA right now. They just negotiated all of this. They have no leg to stand on. This is just going to be the rule on high, and they're just going to have to swallow that pill. Like, whether they like it or not. And there are plenty of people. I get it. The text on be like, well, they shouldn't make them do that, or that's unfair. That's fair. I understand. Again, they are singling them out, which I think is kind of a dicey situation to do against your own players. But this is clearly the way the NFL...
NFLPA is seemingly okay with this. I guess they're trying to protect, the rest of the league.
Yes, and they also know they have no way to fight it. Like, it's like fighting some battles. What can you do? What's your alternate argument? No, just leave us alone. And the people who aren't vaccinated, the people who aren't vaccinated, and you can give them rules inside the facility. But on game day, it's different. How can they make that argument, right? How can you say there should be one set of rules for non-game day and one set of rules for game day? The NFLPA doesn't have much argument to, you know, whether, because they're agreeing to the rules. And again, they just went through the collective bargaining thing. There's just no way to stand. It is weird for me in this way to scarlet letter an entire.
I mean, that's what's going on.
Let's just take
man.
COVID out of this. If you did this for anything, if you said you had done this to steroid users or the Astros who played for the Astros under the cheating scandal, and you're like, we're going to identify and label you as one of those because they're demonizing it. To a point where, again, in this country, you would say it's largely been a personal choice related issue. You are demonizing it to the rest of the players in the league. It's a weird spot to put them in. But again, I don't think the players have any leg to stand on. So they're just stuck. If the league's going to do this, you will still have the same choice. You know, be outed as a person who decided not to get vaccinated. And that's how the league is going to out you, essentially. You don't have a choice in that. Or
what are they going to do? Besides maybe not making you.
They're going to like make you stay, or like you're going to have to be in a mask on the sideline. So anytime somebody's in a mask on the sideline, we're all going to assume.
Like the quarterback has the green dot on his helmet, you know? You're going to have to.
Someone's going to figure it out, man.
Yeah. On the sidelines, maybe you're required to be in a certain area. I don't know, but this is something that the league clearly is taking seriously and talking about. And at some point during training camp, it might be evident, as a matter of fact, let alone the start of the season. And it even mentions in this article a few players in particular, Kirk Cousins, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and others. Tom Brady's name came up as well, just about multiple teams with quarterbacks as well, seemingly. There's a competitive advantage. I mean, that's what's going to be clear.
From a preparation standpoint, there absolutely is. Because Drew Lock would have never missed the game last year if there was a vaccine and he had had it, because he would have been allowed to meet in the room unvaccinated for extended periods of time. I don't know how much of an advantage it really is, honestly, from a competitive end, but there's at least some small wager in doing it.
No, I think there's an advantage on a competitive end because if I'm a team that has a higher percentage, it's less likely we're going to run it on a Friday heading into a Sunday game,
losing players,
a contact tracing issue and losing players. I think that's what I mean by the competitive advantage that exists there, just in terms of a player availability for a weekend game. Yeah. And the Cam Newton situation that the Chiefs benefited from, frankly, in that Patriots game. That doesn't happen if you're a team at that point in time would have had vaccination and
or a high enough percentage, or you would have less likely to lose more than the players you would
text
have
line
lost.
Says what violations. Again, this is the NFL.
Again, that's
though.
A doctor versus not. I know that sounds weird, but they're not under HIPAA. Is four doctors and four nurses for privacy. The NFL is always held to that same standard. Same reason they can say he hurt his ankle. It's hard, but it's not quite the same. I understand that notion, but it's not they're not obligated by that same oath or obligation. And they're not technically saying they're doing it. They're just making it very clear, you know? Like, they're not going to just give you a list, COVID-vaccinated players, non-COVID-vaccinated players.
It's going to be visually
players.
Obvious to yeah. all of us is what, yeah. without actually telling
Either when they put them on the sideline or where they do yeah. that, it's going to out them without outing them.
Coming up in 10 minutes, you'll hear our conversation with Whit Merrifield, the Whit Merrifield Show here on Cody and Gold. This actually happened when you were gone, but this is another, I guess I'll give you 30 seconds on, because
oh, yeah?
Tony Gonzalez is no longer part of Fox NFL's kickoff. And at one point, it seemed like he was going to be able to transition into one of the seats that maybe Jimmy Johnson had or Howie Long had, and now he's going to go be an actor. You want to discuss? You have a take?
I do. I would
you
like another 30 seconds. Yes, I do.
All right.
Tony Gonzalez is an all-time great Chief. He's the second greatest tight end in their history. Travis Kelce's already better than him. I know he was your favorite player growing up.
He was.
He's going to be a terrible actor. He's going to be awful. He doesn't have to take this personally. He probably will. He's not going to be good at acting. First, I think he wasn't even the best studio host. Wouldn't logically the best studio host be the best actor?
No.
Just based on logic and their ability to perform? I just don't think he's going to be a good actor, so he should probably not do that and find a different NFL job talking.
He might end up back in the NFL with some type of analyst gig down the road. He's going to give this filmmaking and acting career a little shot. Why not?
He doesn't seem like he's good for it.
We just got done talking about Space Jam 2. We just got done talking about Space Jam 2.
Yeah, and LeBron was not a good actor right. in it, you said.
And it still grosses all this money. He's still got an opportunity. Tony Gonzalez can do some small, he said film projects, not even just acting. Film projects. He might do some documentary thing. It'll be fine.
Whatever. Honestly, I think athletes, this is a different take, so it doesn't count towards my 30 seconds. Athletes are always so offended when anybody suggests that they can do something they can do, right? Like, oh, I can hit a 90-mile-per-hour fastball, and Whit's like, you're an idiot, Cody. No, you can't. You would strike out a billion times in a row. But then they try to do a professional actor's job. They're like, I can be a professional actor. Like, it's super hard, Tony. It's not easy to be a professional actor. That job's very difficult.
Cut him off.
It's not easy to do. You're not going to just naturally be good at that because of it. Same reason Aaron Rodgers is a much better actor in his commercials than Patrick Mahomes. That's not even a
controversial take. Tony Gonzalez was in XXX.
Okay, and I didn't see that, and it looked terrible. So I assume he was awful at it.
Someone else says Tony G is the Etsy version of Dwayne Johnson, which is very good. Very good.
He's like Dr. Thunder. He's going to just star in like reboot versions of the same bad movies.
Yeah, I don't know. What role would he play in a movie?
Like a meathead action guy, right? I mean, he's not going to be the computer analyst back in the studio figuring it out. They're not going to do that. That's not his role.
He'd be the romantic interest. The hunk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the hunk. Well, then he should just have a dating show. Is he married?
He is married.
Okay, maybe not that.
He is
back
married.
That up. Maybe not the dating show. But he could be the host of a dating show. Again, that's more like analyst stuff.
Text line, he's a bad actor. He couldn't even convince Chiefs fans that Atlanta made his career. Keep him coming. Text line.
He did
strong
try to backtrack
right
on that, and that did not go well.
I told you. Yeah, Tony Gonzalez was my favorite player growing up as a kid. He absolutely was. But the stuff in the last couple of years has soured a little bit. Text line, actually, this was actually fair. He can just play some type of role on NCIS or something like that, where he's like one of the...
Oh, some of those shows. My wife really likes the show Criminal Minds. That show's not on anymore. The acting in that is so bad. I'm absolutely convinced I could be an actor on that show. But I couldn't be on SVU. Look, we all have a line of like what level of show we think we could be a decent actor on. I guess if you put it on.
Do you think you could be on SVU if you were one of the guys they were trying to arrest?
No, I couldn't.
You couldn't
I'm not a
fake
good enough
it during
actor for
the
that. And I acted.
Interrogation.
And I acted growing up. Like, you know, I was in plays and stuff in high school and all that. And I can't SVU quality.
Can we please cut that, Nick? Can we please isolate that? I need that for future reference. I was
just saying I acted. Tony Gonzalez wasn't in. Well, maybe he was,
what
actually.
What crime would Cody be convicted
of? That's
no
good.
Well, I mean, wow.
Criminal Minds, they're all scenario. Serial killers.
Let's go ahead and take
And let's not do SVU. Those are all sex crimes. I don't want any of those.
Just say, let's take SVU out of the equation for Cody's sake here.
Could it just be regular Law and Order?
Yeah, let's just stick with normal Law and Order.
Insider trading. Like investor fraud.
Except, yeah, just scamming. Although even on,
I'm
like,
always accused of being cut in line, so maybe it's theft-related charges. Impersonating a police officer.
I just want to see where Cody, like they're tracking Cody down, and Cody's like at this bar, and they think they found him, and then like Cody tries to run out the back door, and they chase him through the alley for like, I just need that scene, and then Cody gets clotheslined by some other dude on the other end, and that's Tony Gonzalez, by the way.
That's
on the other
Tony
end.
Gonzalez.
That's Tony Gonzalez. and then it's over.
For both of our roles. I think I'm a better actor than Tony Gonzalez.
Okay. Someone said Rick Fox was an attorney on SVU. Tony G could do that.
Rick Fox is not a bad actor. He's okay.
Yeah.
But that's the way they see it. They're like, oh, he can do it.
Rick Fox, not that Tony Gonzalez isn't. Rick Fox also a nice looking dude. You know? I mean, he fits the role a little bit. That's probably why he got the gig.
Play the love interest. You got it right, Nick. That's the move.
That's what he has to go with.
Maybe one of those made-for-TV holiday specials that are just like straight to Netflix now.
Tony G's been in 4 episodes of NCIS? No way.
He's already been in 4 episodes?
Now I'm lost.
That's incredible.
Hold on. Where's his IMDb page. IMDb Tony Gonzalez. Has he really? Well, then that maybe explains it. He definitely was in Triple X.
Part of his CBS deal. He really was. Episodes of NCIS.
Also some show called Shockwave.
Okay, I promise to watch. I've never seen a single episode of NCIS.
Oh, there you go.
I'll watch one tonight with Tony Gonzalez.
There's a show called MVP Post-Production 2021. What is that about? It just says Tony. He plays Tony. On the Streets? Oh, it's about him. Okay.
Sounds terrible.
On the Streets of Hollywood, it's not about him, but a recently retired NFL player is saved from scandal by a homeless veteran.
He wasn't even... why does he always play someone named Tony? NCIS, he's a recurring character over 3 years. He plays Agent Tony Francis.
Text line. Real quick before we take a quick break. Someone said, Cody would be the hysterical guy crying as he's booked for late parking tickets. Also, someone says, Cody telling us he was in theater is like my brother-in-law constantly telling us he played high school football.
I'm just saying that's above that. I mean, constantly. It was the first time we've ever been on the show for 2 years. It's the first time I've ever mentioned being in theater. Like, you know, I was in plays and stuff in high school and all that.
Coming up next, our conversation with Whit Merrifield. We asked him about the trade conversations that are out there about his potential trade value and whether or not that's something he pays attention to. That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What's trending?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Number one on what's trending, it's the news that Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado promoted to AAA Omaha. Woo! They'll make their AAA debuts tomorrow afternoon for the Storm Chasers. And yeah, it is exciting because they're one step closer now to making it to the big leagues. Both of them have been tearing it up down in AA and 16 home runs, I think, apiece. I know Bobby Witt's got 16. I believe Nick Prado's got 16 as well. They both have been playing very well down at Northwest Arkansas, and it was just a matter of time till they get called up. And so a chance for some Royals fans also maybe to make their way to Omaha this week or this weekend. And if you look at the timeline for Bobby Witt Jr., maybe by middle of August, if we're being optimistic, they could be called up. It's the 19th now, so.
I think that's the earliest possible timeline. I think early September is probably more realistic, but a lot of that will depend, as you know, on how well he performs at AAA. Next up on What's Trending, more details out on the Ben Zobrist lawsuit. We've talked about this. It's a mess. With, I guess soon-to-be ex-wife Juliana Zobrist. We talked about all the different parts of this that were very disturbing about her sleeping with the pastor and all the things with it. How about she just looks worse and worse every day? One of the takeaways from the divorce documents that Philip Thompson had, a writer over there for the Chicago Tribune, Giuliana will ask for an additional $4 million, in addition to what she's already asking for, because Ben, quote, failed to preserve marital assets when he took a leave of absence to preserve his marriage, forfeiting an $8 million salary. He also said that in 2019, she tried to force him to go back to the team to further enrich the marital status. That's what Ben Zobrist had to say about it, to increase her share of the assets in the divorce. So she wants to sue him for $4 million for forfeiting $8 million when he left the team to try to, work on his marriage.
Hold on. So
that's messed up, man.
We've talked about the story. She was cheating on her husband, obviously, with the pastor the whole time. The pastor was also giving him marriage counseling. It's so messed up.
Now she wants more money
because the reason why he couldn't make money is because he was going back to fix the marriage at the time he didn't know because you were banging the pastor.
Yes, and that's correct.
That's okay.
Bold. Bold.
And she wants more money.
That's a bold filing.
My goodness. Next up on What's
Trending. He forgoed marital assets.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He was already worth $60 million. I'm sorry about the four. That's a nightmare.
We've been following the last couple weeks, everybody has, about the future for Gianluca Busio, and he's been actually on the drive with the afternoon show here a couple different times in the last week or so. That's because likely to be transferred over to a league in Europe. It seems like it's kind of been whittled down now to an Italian league, and Taylor Twellman reporting that just now awaiting final signed documents and player medicals that Sporting Kansas City, he's reporting at least, has agreed to a $10.5 to $11 million range between transfer and incentives for Busio. Now, Sporting KC and Peter Vermees continue to say, hey, nothing's imminent. They're still talking to several clubs. But Taylor Twellman reporting it should all be finalized by mid-week, according to a source close to the player. So, obviously, he's very well connected. Something to keep an eye on. This is a end result that we all expected for Busio based on his talent level. And frankly, for USA Soccer, he needs to go overseas. He needs to. He needs to be able to further development at that level and play against that kind of competition. So that's a heck of a payday for Sporting KC as well to continue to reinvest and show that their developmental program works.
Well, not only that, but it's just, like you've said, it's really, really good for the league just from a perspective of proving that you can develop a player that deserves to be in what would be the top league in all of Italy. We've already seen Gianluca Busio on the world, on the U.S. national team stage here now recently as well. So that's a big deal. By the way, $11 million, if it's that, that'd be tied for the eighth highest transfer fee in MLS history. So that'd be a big payday for Sporting Kansas City. No big deal. No big deal. Just $11 million for an MLS player. Not bad at all for a guy you developed. Lastly, on What's Trending, in case you want to see some NHL team, and I don't see why you wouldn't, the St. Louis Blues have announced their preseason schedule for the upcoming year. Two games, Gold, coming up in October. You'll be able to check out the Blues at the Independence Event Arena, or the Independence Event Center. So you get a chance to catch them out there at the Mavericks Stadium starting October 2nd. October 2nd for the Independence.
I got to go.
That's really fun. You should see some NHL action if you can.
I'm serious. I'm going to do it because I understand it's preseason. NHL hockey is one of the things I have actually never seen in person, believe it or not. Yes, back in the day, I went to Blades games. I've been to some Mavericks games before.
Sure.
I've been other cities I've been to minor league hockey. Even seen a college hockey game, believe it or not. I've never seen NHL. So I think I'm gonna make that happen.
I saw an intramural game with MU and KU when I got invited out to some ice there once.
Huh.
It was not good hockey.
There you go. Thank you for that. That's What's Trending here on
It's like
Cody.
Club teams. They're not even official school sponsored teams.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you. Hey, don't forget the biggest and best NBA mock draft of the year is here. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Odyssey, your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. You can listen now with the Odyssey app. Earlier today, we were joined by Whit Merrifield, the Whit Merrifield Show, every Monday here on Cody and Gold. He's fresh off that trip to the All-Star Game, and so we asked him, what was it like being in Denver for All-Star Week around all the festivities?
It was a whirlwind, but it was a ton of fun. It's always just a hectic 2 days getting family in and settled in and, touching all the bases that we got to touch while we're there. But it was a lot of fun. We had a great time, and I love watching Salvi in the Derby.
We obviously all loved watching Salvador Perez in the Derby. Did you as a team have the same reaction as the rest of us with? Once we start watching, we're like, come on, man, they're not giving Salvi any love on the broadcast. Obviously, you guys were live, so you didn't see it, but Salvador Perez with the second most in the first round, it felt like he wasn't getting the attention he deserved.
Yeah, obviously, I didn't know that he wasn't getting any love in the broadcast, but when I heard that, I was really upset, disappointed with ESPN and those guys for, I mean, just pretty much overlooking him and just talking to Alonzo the whole time, which I thought was kind of messed up and pretty unprofessional. But Salvi's the man, and he took it like the pro he is. And, yeah, I mean, what do you end up with, 28? I mean, that's – he moves on and any other – if he's hitting against any other player.
I guess from that perspective, he seemed like he'd be tailor-made for it because he's kind of a loose player anyway. Whit, are you even a little surprised he was able to get 28 out?
No. I mean, I really, you know, from people asking me who I thought would win and being a little biased, I really did think he had a good chance to win just because of the format of the Derby and the way he's able to hit any pitch at any location and drive it. I thought he had a good shot in that format to win. And I think if Alonzo hadn't have put up 35 that first round, I think Salvi would have had a really good chance of winning.
Whit, in addition to watching Salvi, I know one of the cool parts for everybody outside of Denver and just watching at home was Ohtani and what he did in a 24-hour span. He's in the Home Run Derby, and then he's pitching and also leading off for the American League. What was that like as a player for you to kind of witness that as well, for something that none of us had ever seen before?
He's a superstar. There's no denying it. I mean, he's a superstar and just an overall presence and figure in this game. And to share a locker room with him, to get to talk to him, just to see the as good as he is on the field, and that's as good of a person as he is as well. And it was a privilege to share a field with him and watch him go out and do what everybody oohs and ahs about.
You're saying he's as nice as he seems on camp, because he seems like maybe the nicest human being who walks Earth.
Yeah, and he is. I mean, it's all genuine.
When you're looking back at, you know, those type of experiences, what is funny, because when we had you on the week before, you're like, oh, I'm going to take care of all this stuff. I got a honey-do list. We're going to take care of house stuff. Is the conversation go over relatively smooth? You're like, hey, last minute, want to go to Denver? Or is it, hey, what can we sort out to make our lives a little bit easier to actually make this kind of trip?
No, I mean, it's when she found out, obviously everybody was really excited, and it's a whirlwind to get everybody together, but it's a fun journey. It's a fun adventure to figure out how they're getting there and getting home, and so it's part of that deal, right? You know, especially since my family's older now, you know, getting everybody together. It's a great couple days.
We're talking to Whit Merrifield. It's the Whit Merrifield Show here on Cody and Gold. I know you've been asked about it, but I didn't know if you could explain exactly what would have happened. The black eye, what L screen there at the All-Star game. What exactly happened?
Yeah, Colorado, in their cage, they have this like 1970s L screen that's cast iron frame. And most L screens now have, actually a lot of them, the ones that we have here aren't even L screens anymore. They're just screens with a net, and then there's like another net a couple inches in front of it, so it really kills the ball when it hits against the screen. It just, the net in front kind of absorbs it. And but you know, you go other places and L screens have the padding around the framing for that reason. And so I was about to go in the game, and I'm going down, and I'm getting loose and hitting some flips in the cage, and I hit one that ricocheted kind of not at me, but kind of into the other batter's box pretty firm. And I was like, didn't really think much of it. And then a couple swings later, I mean, just, I hit it good right at, you know, kind of like towards second base, and it hit the right side of the L screen, came right back, and it smoked me good. And a couple guys like JD and Olsen and, Jose Ramirez were down there, and I also started yelling for the trainer, and I was like, no, I'm okay. As long as I got two eyes, as long as I can keep one open, you know, I can get in this All-Star game. I wasn't gonna not play in the All-Star game because of a black eye.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to ask. Like, was there a moment where you thought, oh my goodness, I'm gonna end up not being up to bat, and everybody's going to be wondering why am I not in the opportunity to pinch hit late in the game? But so you felt like from the beginning, though, you still, I think you had four hits on Friday night with the black eye and all, so you're obviously seeing fine.
Yeah, it didn't swell up as much as it could have, which was good. Got some ice on it pretty quick and kept it swelling down. And you know, it's an All-Star game. You want that experience no matter what. It's, you know, it doesn't really count for stats or anything. So you go in there and you just try to hit a homer and win the MVP. And if you don't, then you just strike out and enjoy being an All-Star game.
I know Brady Singer tried to take credit for the black eye. Which family member of his did you text for that old Western photo?
I'm not going to reveal my sources. I can't do that. But I do have a Brady story for you.
Let's hear it.
So we're in Cleveland on, I think it was Friday night, maybe Thursday, right before the All-Star break. The game that was delayed, like 20 minutes. And so we're on the rail. It's like the fourth or fifth inning, about 8:30, and it's a beautiful night, and it's me, Keller, and Singer, and we just mentioned that how nice of a night it is. Like, man, it's turned into a beautiful night because it's supposed to be storming all day, and but skies cleared up. It was 75 degrees, and stars were coming out. It was beautiful, and Brady goes, "Yeah, it is a nice night. I think the rain's coming at 7. And it was 8:30. And Brady, we looked at him and he put his head down and went, "Man, this is why I don't talk."
He just had, like,
kid one of a kind, man.
I think he's becoming self-aware at least of it, right? He says, "This is why I don't talk."
Yeah. It was. Oh man, it was so funny. Yeah, I think rain's coming at 7. I said, "Brady, 8:30, bud." Yeah. That's why I keep my mouth shut.
The only other one that I remembered about the black eye story was you making a joke, which I thought was well-timed, about whether or not it was Kelsey or Kells for the last name of it. Just, this is your moment, Whit. If we're supposed to be calling you Merrifield the entire time, you better tell us now.
It's Merrifield. Yeah, it's Merrifield. It's not Merrifield, but
okay.
it doesn't matter. Either way, just... It's Whit, not Whitley. That's all I care about.
We are talking to Whit here. It is the Whit Merrifield Show on Cody and Gold. Thinking of your name, I mean, this is the time of the year. It's no secret. Your name continues to come up. The trade deadline here very soon, it's come up the last couple of years. How do you handle that when you do hear around this time of the year that people will put out reports and kind of mention your name as a potential trade candidate?
Oh, it's to the point where it's almost like certain things I go through in baseball, like, you know, I go through slumps, go through things you learn how to deal with. I've been through this, three or four times now, and I've learned how to deal with it. And the way to deal with it is just not to think about it or put any stock into it, because, one, there's a lot of people that think they know what's going on that don't know what's going on, but like to talk like they know what's going on. And I've learned that majority of the time, all that stuff is just wrong. I just don't really listen to what people have to say, because, you know, what the rumors are and what is really going on with conversations about me, most of the time are different. So I just go and try to keep playing my game, keep my head down. And, you know, if there's a time that Dayton and the front office feel like trading me is beneficial for this organization, then, you know, they're going to do what's best for Kansas City. And there's nothing I can do about that, really. So I'm just going to keep going and playing and enjoying my time here, enjoying being around my teammates. And come July 31st, if I'm still here, great. If they decide to trade me, then you know, that's great, too, because that means Kansas City's getting better.
Do you look at this as a compliment? Because you're talking about, I think some of the reason we're talking about is, like, people bring up hypothetical trade scenarios. They like to include your name because most people see it as, he makes the team I cover better or the team I root for better. I know you don't worry about whether or not it means you leave town, but I think if I were you, I would take that as an extreme compliment that so many people want to rumor me around their clubs for that very reason.
Yeah, it's definitely a compliment. I appreciate anytime anybody tells me they enjoy watching me play or thinks that I could help make their team better. I mean, that's definitely one of the best compliments you can get. So, but you know, I think I can make Kansas City better, and that's where my focus is right now. And I'm on this team with this group of guys that I've grown really close to, and gonna do my best to continue to help us get better, because we've got some work to do, and we've got to start getting better.
Speaking to Whit Merrifield here on the Whit Merrifield Show, last thing for me, we would like to get to know you on a personal level, obviously, too. I was on vacation in Colorado the same time you were at the All-Star game. I had car trouble and then repaired my own car on the way. It felt like a big deal. I replaced a part, a solenoid part inside of the car. Felt like the mechanic said I could do it because he didn't have the part, and I successfully did it. Can you fix anything on your car?
I can fix the gas light when the light comes on. I can put gas in my car. I can change the tire. Can change the tire. I've had to do that a couple times. Don't know how to change the oil. Yeah, none of that. But I can change the tire if I need to.
You got Gold Beat. He can't. I'm not even sure changing a tire is the thing.
I'm out. I'm out on that. Yeah. I was thinking for a second, I was going to be like, see, Whit does the same, and then he had to throw in the fact that he can change the tire.
Yeah, but Whit knows that if you wanted to learn to fix it, I assume, you assume you'd be better at fixing a car than me if you, you know, gave yourself a few hours to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, YouTube is a beautiful thing now. You can get on YouTube and learn how to do just about anything.
Whit, I don't know if you guys are already in Milwaukee or headed that way. Obviously, game tomorrow. Best of luck there against the Brewers for a quick two-game series, and we'll check in next week.
All right, guys.
You got it. That was Whit Merrifield with us on the Whit Merrifield Show. He joins us each and every Monday here on Cody and Gold, presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the ultimate in stress-free car shopping. He's got you. He's got me on the car stuff, at least.
I got him, though. Better than one thing. Honestly, he could have fixed it. I think you could fix it.
No.
You know how a socket wrench works, right? You're not that. Oh, my God. It's not that complicated.
And the general idea of how it's supposed to work, yeah. But do I think I could actually change the coil? Because you keep using this fancy
What's
name.
The
you change the coil.
Thing?
You change the coil.
No, the solenoid's the name of the part.
It's a coil.
Do you think, what's the handiest thing you think you're capable of doing? Like, what's maximum level for you?
I mean, I don't even know. I can't change a tire. That's been discussed.
The last time you got some IKEA furniture, you just had someone build it.
Yeah.
Come on.
You call TaskRabbit.
Yeah, TaskRabbit. I'm trying to support the economy in all ways.
He's boosting the local economy.
Yeah. Trying to help freelancers out there. Handyman.
Could you plant something like into the ground?
So that Cody's seen photos.
That's Cody. There you go. That's probably it.
I redid like these pavers and stuff in my patio area that I had in my old apartment and stuff. So I've done that. I don't know
that's
if I did
it.
The
that's
right
probably
way.
The answer.
Yeah, that is definitely the answer.
That's probably the answer.
Yeah.
I still got to dig a French drain this summer.
You've been talking about this for five
it's
months.
Terrible. Well, I didn't want to do it. I want to wait till it's slightly less hot.
And then it's going to be too cold, and then it's going to be football season.
Great.
You know?
Problem solved. Then I won't have to do it. It sounds miserable anyway, so I know how to do it. I just don't want to.
Someone says, Gold, didn't you paint your mom's house or something? Yeah, the interior, and we redid the cabinets, but okay. Thank you. Text
you
line.
Sanded
Thank
and
you,
painted.
Text line.
See, look, they're really
Thank
coming
you,
to bat
line.
For you.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
I once gutted an entire bathroom and refinished it, so that's probably it for me. That's my maximum. I'm better at in-home handy stuff than like working on a car. But it's all kind of the same if you know technically what you're supposed to be doing. I draw the line at like when you have to start taking things out of the car to fix them. Like, hey, I need to fix the water pump. I got to take things out of the car and then fix them. Like things that don't go like, hey, you're in the way, so I'll just
the
move.
Final word.
I got to avoid that. That's where I dodge it. That's where I draw the line.
Good to have you back, man. I'm glad you're
back.
It's
good to have the whole show. It's nice. Nick's here. You're here. We're all here. It's a regular show.
Good to have
you
back and excited for Nick Schwert. He's part of our team now. He's our producer here on Middays. You can search him on Twitter, and I can spell his name. We learned that earlier today on the show. And he's a huge Garth Brooks fan. Such a fan that he flew to Salt Lake City to see Garth Brooks.
We're going to start doing Nick trivia. And if you can correctly guess like his favorite movie, then you know we'll give you a prize.
He can beat all of us in golf on the show. We already know that. That's established.
Well, that's a low bar.
Someone says, Gold, drag that grill up the stairs.
He didn't. Oh, you did
not
build
drag.
It.
I built a Traeger. That's not a big
His
deal.
Sister helped him carry it up the That's stairs. Right. He didn't drag it. That was the thing we gave him a hard time for.
Uh-huh. Something like that. Hope everybody has a good rest of their Monday. We're back at it tomorrow, 10 to 2. Up next, it's The Drive.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.